For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the NBA DFS Today podcast by Sports Ethos. I am your host, Keith Cork, and I'm here to usher you into your Sunday. Happy Sunday, everybody. I hope you're having a relaxing one. And it's a nice little four-game main slate here, so it shouldn't take too long. Join me for this little journey through a small slate. I did wind up winning on both of the slates I played tonight. I believe I told you guys I was playing those. Did win the big one. Doubled my money on the late slate and on the main slate, or earlier slate, whatever you want to call it. I ended up winning like maybe a half of my... Well, I won my money back plus half, so 1.5 times my money. So not a big win, but you know what? We'll take it. We'll move on. Believe that makes winning days for me in four of the last five. So we are going to go ahead and continue to rock that crap, rock that shiz, and win some money here. So let's talk about it. We'll get right into it here. Four games. Cleveland at Miami is the first one here, and that starts at 5 p.m. I believe this is Central Time, so it's 6 p.m. Eastern. 4.5-point spread in favor of the Heat. 203 is a game total. Ugh, gross, gross game total. But you know what? There's a few cheap guys I do like in this game, so we will talk about it here. First the big news here for the Cleveland Cavaliers is that Evan Mobley has been upgraded to questionable with his injury. So he may be back after extended absence here, his ankle injury there. Maybe back after extended absence. So what that does is it kind of drives the value of the other guys on the roster down a little bit. And they're all kind of priced up a little bit as it is. Being a four-game slate, if you're on a GPP and you want to mix it up and get weird, I don't mind going to a Darius Garland here or a Caris LeVert. Both those guys should still definitely have their normal, you know, offensive roles here. Mobley being back isn't going to push them out of it. Instead of Niang being in that starting lineup and getting much of minutes, it'll be Mobley. But Mobley's probably going to be facing a minutes restriction here anyway. So most of the same here from the Cavaliers, aside from maybe about 20 to 25 minutes from Mobley. Which is going to mess things up a little bit for us. It's going to obviously kill any kind of George Niang stream we were hoping for there, or any kind of Isaac Okoro value. Those are pretty much squashed at this point. I mean, they'll probably still get to play, but they're not going to get nearly as many minutes. So just a big bummer there. And Marcus Morris Sr. Goes for him as well a little bit. He is only 3,400, though, so it's not a terrible play, honestly. If you want to play some Marcus Morris Sr., they're going to need to play somebody at those four positions anyway. So, talk about all those guys. But the guy I do like here that I'll point out is Sam Merrill at 3,900. I mean, look, you know, he is really just a one-trick pony. He's going to shoot threes. Let's see. Last game was all three-point attempts. The game before that, all three-point attempts. 3 of 7 from three-point land, 4 of 9 from three-point land. So, he's shooting threes, and that's about it. But he's only 3,900, and if he gets hot, we've seen what that can look like. You know, he had a 15-point outburst against the Pelicans on the 13th, but 33 DK points out of that one. If you get 33 DK points out of somebody that's 3,900, you're really cooking with gas there. So don't mind him one bit. We did see him explode. I'm trying to find that game where he really exploded. That was 26 points against the Orlando Magic on the 22nd of January. 36.75 DK points. And look, you know, when we're talking about those big games, those came against very similar teams where, you know, it's teams that do force you to shoot the three-point ball. I'm talking about the Pelicans. He had a good game against the Knicks. He had a good game against the Orlando Magic. And here he's playing against the Miami Heat, another really good defense. With the Heat, going to have some people out, but no matter who's on the floor, they're going to give you that defensive effort. So that's the reason I'm looking towards this guy. They're going to end up, you know, having to take some late clock three-pointers, and that's going to come down to Merrill when he's on the floor. So, you know, is Evan Mobley coming back going to affect his minutes? I don't think so. I really don't. He's more so stepping into those Donovan Mitchell minutes. Donovan Mitchell obviously not going to make it back here. And Max Strus is the other guy who he's really taking minutes from. And Max Strus has already been ruled out for this one as well. So I think, you know, Merrill is still a safe option there. He's the guy I like the best on the Cavaliers. I do have him in my dummy lineup here, so take that for what it's worth. And the Miami Heat, I feel kind of similarly almost. I mean, I just feel like I don't want to spend up on any of these guys. I mean, Bam Adebayo, Jimmy Butler, I think they make for good GPP plays, good pivots. Terry Rozier, same thing, 6,900. But they're so priced up in the game total of this game. It's hard for it to make sense for me. So probably not going to end up with a lot of Heat here. But the one thing that's interesting is we do have Caleb Martin and Jaime Jaquez Jr. both questionable for this one. If one of those guys or both of those guys sit, I absolutely love, 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 love Nikola Jovic. And Nikola Jovic, you know, young guy, kind of just coming into his own, been playing really well the last couple of games. He had a 26.5 DK point game against this Cavaliers team just a few days ago, 4 days ago, as a matter of fact. So he's 4,000 now. His price has come down from that point. It's really going to be really hard for me not to get him in my lineups here. So I think I'm going to end up with a lot of shares of Nikola Jovic. Like I said, whether or not Caleb Martin or Jaime Jaquez Jr. plays, doesn't really matter too much to me. If both those guys do sit, another guy you can look at, obviously, is Haywood Highsmith at 3,600. Patty Mills may draw a start, but I can't trust that. He's old. It's hard for me to shut off now. He didn't shoot the ball well in the last one. Shot 2 of 7 from the field. Before that, 3 of 11 from the field. One of 6 from the field the game before that. So I just don't know why they keep rolling him out there to brick shots when they could play like a Haywood Highsmith or a Darrell Wright. Wow, that's going way back. Darrell Wright was a wing that played for the Warriors, I believe, maybe about a decade ago. But DeLon Wright is the guy that's on the Miami Heat now that they should be probably giving minutes to over Patty Mills. So DeLon Wright's interesting. He's 3,100. Hasn't really shown the ability to put up a bunch of fantasy points in his career, honestly. And I don't think it's going to change with Miami. So if he was getting 30-plus minutes, then, yeah, I could see it. But he's just not. Unless we get news that that's going to happen, I'm just not super into him. I may end up with one or two shares. It's just kind of a dart throw, and that's about it. So moving on, though, let's talk about more interesting games, much more interesting games. You got the Golden State Warriors at the Minnesota Timberwolves. That's a lot more interesting, isn't it? We've got the Minnesota Timberwolves favored by 3 points over the Warriors. 219 is that game total, which is fine. That's not that bad. That would make it the second lowest on the slate, though. The final two games are higher. But let's talk about this one. For the Warriors, there's a couple guys that do jump into mind, you know, that we need to look at. And maybe not necessarily roster for sure, but we need to look at them. I mean, Steph Curry, 8,700. I know this is like, you know, calling it like a, I mean, this is the number one guy on this entire site probably that can go off, but that's why I like him. You know, he's the guy that can absolutely score you 70 to 80 DK points, and he hasn't done it this season. Been kind of a quiet season for Steph. You know, he's played well, but he hasn't had to really explode. He does have a few that are near 80 point gems, you know, under his belt here this season, so it's definitely possible. I know I said this last time, excuse me, we play this guy, but he's just got that ability to go off, and it is a tough defense he's up against, so it's going to stir some people off of him, so I'm hoping to have some ownership, edge here on that as well. So I do like me some Steph Curry. But let's talk about someone that's maybe a little bit more under the radar here that I like here. It's Trayce Jackson-Davis at 5,000. I mean, obviously he's not entirely under the radar. He's been getting more minutes. People are on him in season-long fantasy, and I've been on him in DFS as well. And the reason I like him here, though, is because they're playing against the Minnesota Timberwolves, and what we found with the Warriors, obviously, is when they do play against size, they like to roll him out there as opposed to you know, Draymond Green at the center. So they need an actual center out there. They finally realized this, and Trayce Jackson-Davis is that guy that they're rolling out there. Now, is he going to be successful against a really good defensive-minded center, a good rebounder like Rudy Gobert, who I assume is going to play in this one? I know he's questionable, but I'm just going to go ahead and assume he's playing. That's a tough matchup. Even if it's just Naz Reid out there, that's a tough matchup as well. So I'm not like going to go overboard in Trayce Jackson-Davis. I didn't end up with him here in my dummy lineup here, but I am going to try to work him into, you know, maybe about 30-40% of my lineups here, somewhere like something like that. I think he's a decent play at just 5,000. It is only a four-game slate, so you know, we're not going to get any really incredible value here. There's a few guys I feel like border on that, but I don't feel like anyone's just like an absolute smash play on this entire slate. So take that for what it's worth. You know, other guys you can consider, I mean, yeah, Klay Thompson, 5,800, with the ability to shoot the three ball, they're going to need that here. So that's another guy, I have on my periphery here. He's a bit of a tier lower, than those other guys, Steph Curry and Trayce Jackson-Davis for me though. On the Minnesota side, this is where I want to spend up. I didn't end up with them in my final lineup here, my dummy lineup. I'm going to try to work some shares, probably about 50% of my lineups with Anthony Edwards, as my star. I just love him here. You know, obviously the Warriors aren't a super strong defense, so it's not a bad matchup for him. But without Karl-Anthony Towns, I mean, he's just going to be super busy on the offensive end. He's got to go off. He's got to score, not every single point, but a whole bunch of points for this Timberwolves team to be successful. So I do really like me some Anthony Edwards here. Going to try to work him to a lot of my lineups here. You know, some, I think a lot of people are going to gravitate towards Rudy Gobert and possibly Naz Reid, knowing that the Warriors are generally not good at against the center position, but they've been better since they've been playing Trayce Jackson-Davis there. And, those guys are not necessarily, I mean, Naz Reid is a scorer for sure, but so many people are on him and his salary now is 7,000. He does have, the tendency to have duds here and there, right? Where he shoots a lot from the outside, so his shot just isn't falling. If he doesn't get those points, he's not going to hit value for you at 7,000. So I do think he's a little bit more risky than people are going to, you know, assume. Even if Rudy Gobert is ruled out, I'll probably end up fading him on such a small slate, and that may.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
End up winning me a whole lot of money. So I'm not really into the bigs here, but who I am into is, again, Kyle Anderson. I know I've said this guy before, and he has yet to have that really, like, wow game for us. I'm trying to see what his highest DK points of the season are. He's got a 38.5 against Boston back in January. But look, I mean, he does have the ability to pop off. That's his size game looks like here. But yeah, he does have that ability to pop off. He had 31 DK points in that last game. Starting to turn around a little bit, turn that corner. He just, again, has the ability to produce in every single category, assists, rebounds. He gets some steals, he'll get some points, get some threes. So he's got the ability to produce in all of that. And without Karl-Anthony Towns, they need somebody to step up on the offensive end. And it has been Naz Reid mostly, not going to lie to you guys. But, you know, where people zig, you want to zag. And, you know, Kyle Anderson, he's a scary play, but he's the one I'm going to be on. So I'll take him or I'll leave him. I'll lose money if I have to. Because, you know, if I win with Naz Reid, on my squad, and 40% of the other people have Naz Reid in their squad, I don't really win. There's no point in doing that. So Kyle Anderson's the guy I'm targeting on the Minnesota Timberwolves. In their front court, I should say. Because in the backcourt, I'm targeting Anthony Edwards. Okay, moving on. That is two games down. We got two more games to go. If you guys don't already have the DFS pass, it is just $5 a month on sportsethos.com. You should go grab it before the price skyrockets, because, hey, I'm winning. My team is winning. We got the winning plays. I got pick'ems every day for you guys. I've been kind of cold there, so maybe I shouldn't be promoting those. But hey, you know what? You're making five plays and hoping you hit a parlay, basically. So how often does that happen? It's been happening pretty regularly for me this season. So that's part of your DFS passes, getting those every day as well. Go get it at sportsethos.com. OKC, the Thunder at the Milwaukee Bucks. We got a three-point spread here in favor of the Bucks. 231.5 is that game total, which is, I wouldn't say drastically, but it's more than the first two games, right? 219 was that last game we were discussing there between the Warriors and the Timberwolves. So, you know, nice total here. Definitely some guys I like in this game. On the OKC side, let's start at the very top. I mean, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander up against the defense of Damian Lillard. Yeah, I mean, give it to me. I think the OKC Thunder are going to bring it out here against the Milwaukee Bucks. They are now tied for first with Denver. So there is a little bit of an added incentive there to go out there and win the game and move another, you know, half game ahead of those Denver Nuggets there and you know, solely claim the first spot there. So I like some SGA here. I think SGA is a very solid play. You know, how do I work SGA, Steph Curry, and Anthony Edwards into the same lineup? I just can't. So I've got to kind of rotate those guys around. Two out of the three of those guys are going to be in my lineups, and that's what I'm going with there. So with that being said, you know, I'm skipping over Chet Holmgren. I'm skipping over Jalen Williams. I can't afford those guys. I'm looking for a little bit of stars and studsy type of build. But, you know, maybe two kind of mid-range guys in there and everyone else kind of 5,000 and under. So to go with my two studs. No one else on this this Thunder team really stands out to me. So we're going to move on here to Milwaukee side. And I think a lot of people, and I think it's a smart play. I'm a little nervous about it, but Giannis Antetokounmpo, you know, up against the OKC Thunder, who admit to it, they give up boards on purpose. They give up putbacks and everything to bigs. It's just something, you know, you have to give up something in the NBA, and they admittedly say, hey, if you want to score your points that way, go ahead and do it, because we're not going to do anything to stop it. So that being said, Giannis would be the obvious guy to target in that scenario, but I'm going a little different way. You know what I mean? I like to be a little different. I am going with the Brook Lopez instead. He's not necessarily the most prolific rebounder in the world, but he does have that ability to score over people, to stretch the floor. You're going to want to bring Chet Holmgren out of the paint. So, you know, if he can step out to the three-point line and knock down some threes, now you got Chet running out of the paint, and it's opening up the paint for you know, Damian Lillard and Giannis to go finish at the paint without having to finish over a shot blocker like Chet Holmgren. So I do like Brook Lopez a whole heck of a lot here. He's 5,300. You know, we've seen this guy priced in the 7,000s in the past, and, you know, last season had a very incredible season. Even earlier this season, he was up near 7,000, looks like on the 17th of December. So, you know, he's got big games under his belt, capable of that for sure. At 5,300, though, we only really need him to hit, you know, what he hit against Phoenix, you know, 27.75. That's totally workable. You know, what he hit against the Charlotte Hornets, 28.25. What he hit against the Philadelphia 76ers, 33.75. You know, he doesn't have to have an incredible game for us to get some value there at this pretty minuscule pricing. So I do like Brook Lopez here. His price has fallen. I think with that price being the way it is, people will be on him. So I don't think he's going to be totally like 5% owned or something like that, but I think he will be lesser owned because he's not necessarily a flashy or an exciting player to roster. And that's really my only thoughts on the Bucks. You know, what's going on at the end of that bench? I don't really know. Middleton's back, so, you know, we don't really get a lot of Patrick Beverley, which is some guy I've been rostering here and there. Not as excited about Malik Beasley because of that as well. So, that's really it for me on the Milwaukee Bucks. Let's move, though, to the final and my favorite game on this slate, which is the Indiana Pacers at the Los Angeles Lakers. And it's a four-point spread in favor of the Lakers, according to DraftKings. 240.5 is that game total. So it's the highest game total of the slate. Not going to be contrarian of me to try to stack this game at all. I think it's going to be a popular move for people, which is why I'm grabbing my studs in the earlier games. But I do like some mid-range guys in this matchup for sure. On the Pacers side, I do have some thoughts. I know we've been riding Pascal Siakam and riding that high. His price has risen. He comes up against Anthony Davis here. That's a no-go for me. Anthony Davis is an incredible defender. Say what you will about him. He just disappears in games, yada, 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 yada. I get it. But no. I think he's going to have a hard time in this game. I would much rather go with a guy like Aaron Nesmith. I know it's a guy that I've been touting a lot recently, but, you know, once again, not exciting, kind of boring. But he did have a string of, you know, basically 30-point games not that long ago, and he's been crapping it up since then. He's been having terrible games. So this is where we get our ownership edge. People are going to be afraid to roster him. I don't want him to bust out. I don't want him to be to give me 16 DK points. You know, look, the shot attempts are there. The supporting stats, for whatever reason, have not been. I haven't been able to identify a specific reason for him to not grab enough rebounds and assists and steals to really reach value for us. So, you know, those things do have variance in them, and I'm just going to assume this is a variance thing. He's going to bounce back and have, you know, have those rebounds. So, there it is. I like me some Aaron Nesmith. All right, and on the Lakers side, I'm probably skipping on Anthony Davis. I'm probably skipping on LeBron James. I think they're fine plays, especially against the Indiana Pacers. I think they're going to be popular plays, anti-Indiana Pacers. But I'm pivoting to those other guys I told you about, so I'm just not going to have them in my lineups. It's going to be a complete fade from me, for better or for worse. But I do like me some D'Angelo Russell, 7,100, against the Pacers, against Tyrese Halliburton. One thing Tyrese Halliburton does not do well is defend. One thing the Pacers do have struggle with is giving up points, and it's often to guards. So I do like me some D'Angelo Russell here. I think it's a fantastic play. You know, even though they give up a lot of points, they still do have Miles Turner and Jalen Smith and some really big bodies down there to give Anthony Davis some problems. And Anthony Davis is 10-4, obviously, 10,400. LeBron James, you know, I think he's a fine play. If I was going to play one of those studs, he'd probably be the one I would play. But you know, LeBron's looking for somebody else on this team to step up, and Russell's been having a pretty good, you know, post All-Star break go of it. A couple of 50-plus DK point games back-to-back against the Warriors and the Hawks before that bummer against the Philadelphia 76ers, but he was heating up, and I expect him to catch fire again here. So last time they played the Lakers, they played the Pacers. He had 31.5 minutes, and he shot 40% from the field. He only ended up with about 31.5 DK points. So, you know, it wasn't a great game. But that's just the nature of D'Angelo Russell. He's going to have some duds, and he's going to have some big games. And, you know, with me playing GPPs mostly, I do like to target those guys that are able to boom. So I do like me some D'Angelo Russell here, absolutely. And then, you know, what's going on down roster here? I don't know. It's too... None of these guys are exciting at all. We do have quite a few guys out here. So, you know, if you want to go with the Jackson Hayes just to get froggy, get a little different from the field, I get it. He's been getting minutes here and there, putting up some DK points. He does have some points per minute upside. Absolutely. Ryachimura is a guy people will often overlook. And now that I'm thinking a little bit more about him, I'm thinking I might need to get a few exposures to him. But he does have the ability to boom with his ability to put up points in bunches. And they are playing the Indiana Pacers. So now I'm talking myself into Rui Hachimura. I don't know. If I'm going to go Rui Hachimura over Kyle Anderson, that's an interesting one. I think that's heads or tails right now for me, just kind of thinking in real time. But he is an interesting guy as well. That's going to do it for us, guys. That is it. That is our real quick down and dirty four-game Sunday slate. I'm your host, Keith Cork. You can find me on Twitter at ethoskeith. Go follow the show, please, @ethostfs. And we'll continue to hit you with these quick, you know, early looks at the slate. This was under 23 minutes here, and I got through that whole slate for you guys. So I hope you enjoyed it. Please do leave us a review. Let us know if you liked it or not. Until next time, guys, hey, go get that money.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.